humble players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Ball to score a goal.
He shoots the ball. He scores. Scoring the goals.
Hello everybody, welcome along to the League Podcast, League 1 and League 2 edition. The Championship version is available at all the usual places. I'll remind you of them later on in the podcast. We've got Sam Ashu from the 72.co.uk to have a look through six featured matches in these two divisions. You well, Sam?
Yeah, not too badly. We hit the bar last week, didn't we, with the old Knapp selections, all three of us, didn't we?
Yeah, well, they all lost.
But we were close.
Well, you know, it's, you know, my view on these things is whether you're close or not, you're still a million miles off. Still a loser.
Oh, God, all right. Clearly a half-empty kind of guy, Leo.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. I was just disappointed that we landed the Knapp treble the week before and then had a complete blank last week. But, yeah, they're always unlucky, aren't they? No one wants to hear sob stories about unlucky Knapps. We're paid to win.
Yeah, all right, blunt as you are right.
I'm sounding confident, but I don't feel it in my heart. That's the problem. We'll come to the Knapps in a bit. Pete's given us his. I've got one in the Championship as well, and we'll get one from Sam at the end of this podcast. Let's start with Friday night's Preston Leighton Orient game, 4-6 for PNE. It's 13-5 of the draw, and Orient are priced up at 9-2. The league positions for these two sides, first of all, Preston are fourth, 6 points off the top. Team Swindon and Bristol City were locked on the same points as Swindon. Leighton Orient right down in 20th on level points with Gillingham, who are actually in the drop zone. So if things don't go their way this weekend, Sam, Leighton Orient could be in the drop zone, and it wouldn't be a big surprise if Preston beat them. They lost in the Johnson's Paint Trophy in the last home game to Walsall, and Leighton Orient did win their last away game as well, but you wouldn't imagine that kind of form would continue, would you?
No, I mean, those two results aren't enough to tempt me into to go with what you may look as the value or whatever here in terms of an away victory, Lee. I think that Preston have, you know, I've championed them all season because they've got a decent squad and a very good manager who's got experience at this level. And even with that bad result against Walsall, where, you know, in fairness, Walsall were value for their win in that away match. They just, well, I think they were perhaps more up for it in terms of, you know, the occasion of the competition getting towards the the latter stages of the Johnston's Paint Trophy. But I mean, going back to the league, Preston are very good, particularly at home. And if you look at the matches, they lost 2-1 to Bradford. Bradford were very, very good that day, and of course Bradford are a team in form at the moment. So they lost to Bradford at home, drew with MK Dons, which is by no means a bad result, and, you know, grinded out that 1-0 victory against Barnsley. I've got a feeling it may be a bit more of an open game today, and you may well want to look at something like Preston over 1.5 goals, the -1 handicap perhaps as well. Myself, I do like the headline offerly. I don't always like them, but Jermaine Beckford is a man that's proven at this level, and he started the last couple of games now. He came in, of course, just before Joe Garner picked up his injury. You know, their main threat, Joe Garner, up front. And since then, he started a couple of games on the bench. He's then sort of forced his way into the first team. He's got a couple of goals in the last few games as well. And I think in a game where Preston could perhaps score a few goals here, bear in mind the fact that it's a TV game as well. Jermaine Beckford is a man that, you get the feeling anyway, I don't know what the stats say on this, but he's the man that, you get the feeling, likes to play in front of the cameras. Of course, he scored that goal for Leeds United against Man United in the FA Cup. That was in front of pretty much the whole world. But I think he'll step it up tonight. And I think at 5-2, for what should be a routine home win anyway, 5-2, the headline offer of Preston to win and Jermaine Beckford to score any time. It's not your biggest headline offer, but it's a nice enough price. Remember, okay, Leighton Orient won their last away game, like you said, Lee, but away from home, they are pretty poor. And let's not forget, like you said again, they could drop into the relegation zone come the end of the weekend. So they're not a very good side. Since the manager Liverani came in, it's just been a case of sort of one step forward, two steps back. I mean, they got those two wins in a row. A decent 4-win away against Crawley, but by the way, Crawley are really struggling at the moment. A 3-0 win against the Yeovil side, who are, in my mind, looking towards the Man United Cup game. Anyway, so I'm not trying to make excuses here, but I thought those two wins were expected anyway. And then they go and lose 1-0 to Fleetwood at home, when Fleetwood are pretty poor away from home. So they're still not good enough for me, Leighton Orient. And I fancy the Preston win here. And I do like the headline offer with Jermaine Beckford.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's move on to the next of the three. Scunthorpe United versus Bristol City. Scunthorpe United are priced up at 13-5. It's 12-5 the price for the draw. And Bristol City, you probably won't be surprised to hear that they're the favourites in this at 21-20. Still odds against, though, for the team who sit second in the table, but only by virtue of having a one-goal inferior goal difference. And they've got a game in hand on Swindon. Not doing much wrong recently. Got through the FA Cup as well against Doncaster Rovers in midweek. It was the opposite way around for Scunner. He went to Chesterfield and lost 2-0 after extra time. Finally, that tie is done. It was 2-2 in the first leg, of course, and ended up losing 2-0 in extra time. So Tuesday night, trip to Chesterfield, extra time, and now they've got this home game against Bristol City. Surely Scunny won't have enough here. I mean, you know, they're desperately in need of points. Four off the relegation zone. The home form's not bad, though, Sam, is it?
To be honest, I'm in a bit of a disagreement with you here. I think Scunthorpe will get something out of it.
Right, OK.
They currently have the second best record in League One based on the last six games. And I do like these form guides because, yes, they are maybe in 17th in the division, they may even have relegation over their heads at the moment, the way they are. But they are one of the informed sides. But, of course, guess what? Bristol City are, at the moment, the informed side. So you've actually got the two informed teams playing in this game here. And not a lot of people would perhaps think that, especially a while ago when Scunthorpe were going on that terrible run. But I mean, Mark Robbins has come in, and what an excellent job he's come. What an excellent job that he's done. Peter Swan, the chairman, came under a bit of criticism when he got rid of Russ Wilcox after Wilcox got Scunthorpe promoted, but struggled a bit. And then, of course, Mark Robbins has come in and done a quite brilliant job with the squad that he's got and the results that they had before, getting the confidence up. They're scoring goals now, Scunthorpe. They've won four out of their last five games in the league as well, and they drew one all away from home to an informed Bradford side as well. Interestingly, their last seven games in League One have all been both teams to score. Six of those last seven games have been both teams to score over 2.5 goals as well. So bear that in mind. Bristol City are capable of scoring goals, as we know as well, the likes of Aaron Wilbraham, Luke Freeman, Agard, Emmanuel Thomas. I mean, it's quite scary, the options that they've got up front. But I still think Scunthorpe get something here. They're in form. Yes, Bristol City is still a very good side. They're not quite the imperious side that they were for the first 15 games or so when they were one of the only unbeaten teams. Well, I think they were the only unbeaten team in the Football League at one stage. They're not quite as imperious as that, but they're still very, very good indeed. However, I've just got a feeling here, and I'm going to go with Scunthorpe win or draw at 3-4. I don't normally put these prices up because, well, I mean, like we all know, they're very, very short indeed. But I just think that's a decent enough price to get on here for a team. You know, how often are you going to get a team that is technically second in the form guide based on six games? How often are you going to get them at home 3-4 for the win or draw? So yeah. I do like that. And bear in mind, I've not mentioned any goal scorers here, certainly on the Scunthorpe end. Reason being that Scunthorpe have scored, they've scored 9 goals in the last 4 games in League One. 8 of those have been different scorers. Now, I think that bodes very well for league form and, you know, and whatnot, and just, you know, team confidence, etc., not having to rely on one player. But it doesn't bode well if you're trying to pick an anytime goal scorer, because it could be anyone. It's one of those, certainly when I'm picking or putting up an anytime goal scorer, I like to look for a player that the team rely on, because you think, well, if they score, he probably will be the one to do it. It's a bit different here for Scunthorpe. They've got goals coming in from all over. You know, goals from the midfield, goals from up front as well. Paddy Madden's their top scorer. He scored 10 goals this season. So, if you would have to pick it, probably would be him. But I don't think any of the prices are good enough for a team that is scoring goals left, right and centre. But I do think they get something here, Lee.
Fair enough. Let's have a look at the final of the three League One matches. That's MK Dons at home to Sheffield United. The Dons are even money. The Blades are 3-1. The draw is 9-4. MK Dons at third, 6 points behind the top two. Sheffield United are sixth, a further 9 points back from MK Dons. It's such a big gap between the playoff hopefuls and those who are chasing promotion. Sheffield United back into winning ways with the win at QPR in the Cup and the 2-1 win over Preston, which obviously a very good result. Almost nilled them as well, but for Preston's late consolation. And MK Dons' form, you could argue, over the last three anyway, has just gone the other way, Sam.
Yeah, no, definitely. And for that reason, I think that there is there's some real value here for Sheffield United. It's very difficult to find value for Sheffield United. You know, these days, because they're such a big club playing in, you know, League One. So a lot of people just look at them as a guarantee, and the traders, of course, pick up on that and make them short. But here, 3-1 they are to beat MK Dons. And like you said, Lee, MK Dons were in quite incredible form, but no wins in their last three, if you count the Chesterfield game as well in the FA Cup. That 3-0 loss to Milton Keynes, that 3-0 loss to Walsall, they were outplayed that day. You know, they deserved to lose that one 3-0. It wasn't good enough. And then, you know, they really should be beating Crawley. Even though it was away from home, they drew 2-2 with Crawley. Crawley are in all sorts of problems at the moment, and they're not. So you just wonder, at Milton Keynes, are they having a bit of a burnout at the moment? You know, I don't like to use that term a lot, and I know that a lot of people don't like to use that term, because footballers shouldn't burn out, if you like. But I say that, they were in quite incredible form, scoring goals left, right and centre. It's only, you know, they're only humans, and at some stage the form has got to dip a bit. And, you know, you compare this to Sheffield United, who they've picked up a bit of form lately as well. That incredible 3-0 win away at Queen's Park Rangers in the FA Cup. Very good 2-1 win against Preston North End as well. What I think about Sheffield United is they step it up when they have to, you know, or not even when they have to. Let me rephrase that. They step it up on what could be classed as the bigger occasion. And I guess when you're playing against MK Dons, one of, if not the best side in the division, you class that as a big occasion. So, you know, and I say that, I'm wary of the fact that when they go to Wembley, most of the time, Sheffield United, they do buckle a bit. But apart from that, you know, in the FA Cup games that they play against Premier League sides or just going to big stadiums on the whole, they're clearly used to playing in big stadiums because they play at Bramall Lane at home. They're going away to MK Dons here, and when a lot of teams struggle in League One to play away at Stadium MK because it's just so big, they get played off the park, I don't think Sheffield United will, and they've already beaten MK Dons here, you know, this season in the League Cup. So bear that in mind as well. I just think at 3-1, they are the value bet here. That is the bet. So I'm going to go with the away win. A bit of an upset there, but I just think you've got two forms on opposite spirals at the moment. And, you know, if we're looking at a goal scorer here, but of course, MK Dons have got to deal with the fact that they've now lost their star striker who they had on loan from Arsenal, Benik Afobe. He's been brilliant for them this season, but he's gone to Wolverhampton Wanderers for, I think it was a couple of million pounds. An excellent signing for Wolves, even though he's got to make that step up into the Championship. And, you know, now if I'm looking for a goal scorer, I'm thinking it's possibly going to be Dele Alli. He's classed as a midfielder, excellent young player for MK Dons. He is now technically their top scorer. And like I said, classed as a midfielder, but he's got 11 goals so far this season. The next top goal scorer will be Will Grigg. But I think that at 7-5, if you do fancy a goal scorer for MK, and you think they're going to win perhaps, maybe look at Dele Alli at 7-5. If you're looking at Sheffield United, well, Jamal Campbell-Rice, now he's scored 3 goals in his last 3 games, including 2 against Queen's Park Rangers. He followed that up with a goal as well in their league match. He's 19-5 anytime. Now, he's obviously a player that's in form. Myself, I fancy the away side anyway. So if you do fancy Sheffield United, I think 19-5. For a team that don't really have an outstanding goal scorer, Sheffield United, I think Jamal Campbell-Rice at 19-5 is a very good anytime price, Lee.
Yeah, it looks a nice bet. That's League One wrapped up. Let's have a look at League Two now. Sam's picked out three more matches to have a look through. And we'll start on Friday with Cheltenham versus Morecambe. 13-10 the price for Cheltenham to win this one. Morecambe are 21-10, and it's 2-1 the price for the draw here. The respective form and positions, well, Cheltenham are 18th in the division with 28 points. That's 5 points above the drop zone of 2, which is occupied at the moment by Tranmere and Hartlepool. Morecambe 11th with 35 points on the board. But you couldn't say either team are in great form, Sam, could you? One win in the last 5 for both in all competitions.
No, and of course this is the Friday night evening kickoff in League Two, and thankfully this isn't a TV game. The reason why I say thankfully is because it's all set to be an absolute, the opposite of whatever an absolute cracker would be. My thesaurus isn't working quite as well as it did last week.
Rubbish.
When I came up with pizzazz or whatever, pizzazz on last week's one.
It'll be lacking pizzazz. Is that what you're saying?
Rubbish. This one is certainly going to be lacking pizzazz, in my opinion, Lee. Just looking at the results of these two to start off, taking it back to basics, and first of all, both teams to score hasn't landed in 3 of the last 4 Cheltenham games. They had a 1-0 against Exeter, 1-0 against Newport. Yes, okay, they beat Oxford 2-1, but then they lost 2-0 away to Hartlepool, which is a very poor result indeed. And you compare that to Morecambe, who, they're coming off the back of 2-0 nils. They won 2-0 before, but again, that wouldn't have landed you over 2.5 if that would have, all your both teams to score there. Then they lost 1-0 twice in a row. So, for me, you've got to look at unders here. And actually, the unders, I had a look at the unders market. I thought it would be a bit healthier than what it was. They're very short. I think under 2.5 goals is something like 8 to 15 or something like that, Lee. And both teams to score no is 8 to 11, which again is quite short. So I'm going to go the extra mile here, and I'm going to say in this game, I'm going to go with under 2 goals. So it's either going to be a 0-0 or a 1-0 either side. Mm. 7 to 4. Like I said, Morecambe coming off the back of 2 0-0 results. So clearly they're not defending that badly. And in fact, they've only... they haven't conceded in their last 3 games, but they've only scored 2 goals in that time, and like I say, 2-0 nils. And you compare that to Cheltenham, who, they lost, like I said, lost 2-0 to Hartlepool. They've only scored 2 goals in 4 games themselves. So, I'm quite confident here actually that the under 2 goals, it's not a bet that I normally go for, but the under 2 goals at 7-4 is enough value for me here to back what should be quite a drab game, or a tight game at least. I'll try and use a bit more of a positive footballing term.
Bury take on Wickham on Saturday at 3 p.m. 13-8 Bury, the draw 21-10. Wickham priced up at 9-5. Recent form has seen Wickham ended that spell of drawing games by beating Hartlepool and York, both by a single goal to nil, both at home. It's got the job done, scoring in the first half against Hartlepool, and then early in the second half against York. Bury had a couple of back-to-back wins, beating Northampton and Mansfield, and then lost at Dagenham, which is a shocking result, really, for a team chasing playoff football, to be losing to a team trying to fight off up relegation from the Football League. Wickham are top here, obviously, Sam, and maybe the form has drifted a little, but I'm sure there'll be a few people looking at 9-5 and wondering if they should take a bit of that.
Yeah, I'm not one of them. Again, I seem to be going a little bit against the obvious this week, and the reason why I say this is because, tellingly, Wickham have one of, if not the smallest squad in League 2. And don't get me wrong, Gareth Ainsworth has done quite an excellent job with Wickham. To take them to top of the table after 25 games with the squad that he's had, and of course the fact that they were nearly relegated out of the Football League on the very last day of the season, it's an incredible job. He's been rewarded with that. He signed a long-term contract. It's the first long-term contract that he's signed of his managerial career. He signed that just after Christmas. So he's been rewarded here. I'm sure that money will come in at some stage for him to be able to expand his squad, especially if they keep playing well and attendances are decent, etc., etc. But those two results lately, only scoring one goal in their last two games. Now, bearing in mind that they scored, well, before that they scored, I think it was 11 games in their last four or something like that. To now only score one goal in their last two, one all they drew to Accrington Stanley, then they drew 0-0 with Shrewsbury away from home, which defensively isn't a bad performance, but still, you know, there's worrying signs here. In both of those games, and on the majority of games that they're playing at the moment, they're only able to play with four substitutes. Now, that is quite ridiculous, considering that most teams play with six or seven substitutes. You know, to only have four, to say that three of those players are almost definitely going to play, even if they might not be up to quite fitness or anything like that, or their form might not be great, it takes a toll on the squad. And whilst they went on that excellent run of form, which has propelled them to the top of League Two, I've just got a feeling now, and like I said earlier in the podcast, in the league podcast, these are only human beings, and whilst the results have been excellent, and I don't doubt that, they are going to get tired at some stage. They've had a very busy Christmas period, and I actually do fancy Bury here, Lee. I think at 13-8, it's not a bad price. It's not one that absolutely jumps out at me as the best price of all time, but I think at 13-8, it's a decent one. Yes, like you mentioned, they lost 1-0 to Dagenham, and, you know, I'd be quite surprised if Bury actually make it into the playoffs this season. But I think they've got enough at home to beat, you know, unbeaten in the last three at home. Yes, two of those were draws, but against decent sides, particularly Luton, who are one of the best sides in the division. Comfortable 2-0 win in their last home result against Mansfield as well. I think they're going to have enough here against what is quite a tired Wickham side. And I wouldn't surprise me, Lee, to see Wickham go on a bit of a struggle, if you like, in the next few games, because I just think they're going to be very tired and they need to bolster their squad.
Interesting times for Wickham, I think, isn't it? Shrewsbury next, and finally taking on Hartlepool. Shrewsbury at 4-11, which is about as short as you're probably going to get in this division, and that means Hartlepool must be a big price, and they are 17-2. The draw is 7-2. Shrewsbury are fourth on 45 points. Hartlepool rock bottom and marooned, you would suggest, minus 25 goal difference from their 25 matches and only 17 points, but they have just beaten Cheltenham Town in their first win since they beat East Thurrock in the FA Cup, and the first win in League Two since they beat Exeter City away from home on the 11th of October. Sam, there are some punters who would look at the price like 17-2 in a division like League Two and say you simply cannot miss that because it's so big.
I wouldn't be one of them. And the only reason I say that is because not only are Hartlepool very, very poor indeed, they are playing away from home against one of the best sides at home in the Football League. You know, Shrewsbury's home record this season has been, it's been quite brilliantly. And you know, what is scary about their results is, yes, they're not scoring, apart from that 5-0 win against Bury, and perhaps the 4-0 win against Accrington as well, it's not like they're battering teams every week at home. They are grinding them out, and they haven't conceded at home now in the league since back in Portsmouth at the end of October. So they've actually kept clean sheets at home in their last five matches. They only conceded two to Chelsea, of course, as well, and they scored one against them as well. They are just excellent at home. So, you know, whilst punters, and there will be people back in Hartlepool, no doubt about it, because they'll see that last result and think, OK, you know, the Hartlepool may be confident now going into this, and at 17-2, it's a huge price, especially in what is a notoriously difficult league to pick for bets. But still, it's more, in my opinion, it's more of a formality than that. And you know, I looked at the minus one handicap at first, like you do when you're very confident on a team. But actually, the minus one handicap wouldn't have landed in the last four Shrewsbury home games. So whilst they haven't conceded in the last five games, the minus one handicap wouldn't have landed. They're, you know, a 1-0 win against Walsall, 1-0 win against Burton, 1-0 win against Morecambe, and then that 0-0 against Wickham as well. So bear that in mind. And for me, actually, I think it's just safe to go with Shrewsbury to win to nil here. Shrewsbury to win to nil is 4-5. Yes, Hartlepool won their last game, but they barely scored any goals this season. They conceded quite a few as well, but that's kind of irrelevant in this bet to an extent. I just think they just haven't got enough goal scorers in them. Yes, they won the last game, but it's not enough for me to suggest that they're even going to score here. Shrewsbury are excellent defensively, particularly at home, like I keep banging on about. I just think 4-5 for them to win a bet that would have landed now in 4 out of the last 5 occasions when they've played at home, I think that's just an excellent, excellent price. So I completely disregard Hartlepool here. But I can ever so slightly, see why punters may want to get on Hartlepool, but it's not enough for me.
Yeah, fair dues. Nap time. Pete has, as I said, already staked his claim this week. He's gone for Birmingham to win the second half versus Leeds. To find out why, then go and download the Championship version of this podcast. The price for that is 11-5, incidentally. I've gone for Daryl Murphy to score at any time for Ipswich at woeful Millwall. 11-8 the price there for him to get to improve on his 17 goals this season already. Sam, you're still way out in the lead with plus £83.50. Pete and I, incidentally, I'm on minus 31. Pete's on minus 70. So you're a fair chunk ahead, £110 ahead. What are you going for this week?
Cheltenham versus Morecambe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with under 2 goals at 7-4.
Under 2 goals.
With that in mind, it's a Friday night game as well. Yep. We're recording this on the Friday, but it's a Friday night game, so yep. Just bear that.
So that's, it's not the under 2.5.
It's the under two goals. Yeah. I think you have to scroll down a little.
Yeah. Obviously with the under 2.5 you're getting 2 in there. That's why this one's a slightly different one, a 0 or a 1. Of course, the 1-1 won't cut it for you in this one. Sam, thanks very much for your time.
Not a pleasure.
We'll speak to
it is a pleasure.
Yeah, whatever. we'll speak to Sam next week. Sam's also on In Play Radio this weekend, so tune in. It's www.inplayradio.co.uk, covering the Africa Cup of Nations footy on Saturday night. Mm. And then I'm back on Sunday afternoon as well. And you also have to put up with Ian McCulloch on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. So apologies for that. But
I'll bring plenty of caffeine.
Indeed. Thanks to Sam, and thank you to you for listening to the podcast. You can get it at the 72.co.uk. If you go to the website and you'll see the playlist in the top right hand corner. It's also available on audioboom.com, williamhill.com/podcasts, and if you subscribe to William Hill's football channel on iTunes, they deliver all the football podcasts straight to your phone, your PC or your tablet. If you're having a bet on any of the League One or League Two matches, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.